Pre-Philly sweep edition. That's right. It's 3 p.m. on this fine Thursday, and we are anticipating a 4 p.m. Phillies game in which your almost first place Philadelphia Phillies are going for a sweep over the minor league Washington Nationals. As of right now, the Mets and Marlins are tied up in the seventh inning. Let's hope the fish come to bite. And we can get within a half a game. Sure, why not? I know a lot of you are listening now when the game has been concluded, so it means nothing. Deal with it. We got a little pregame action in the Jackson. We're taking calls. We're on the Twitter space. Anybody wants to pop in, you know how to do so. We got about an hour before first pitch. We also have a little bit of Eagles talk with the Deshaun Jackson rumors. Can't stop, won't stop. Is he coming to Philadelphia? Is he going to jail? Is it basically the same thing if you put him underneath the vet and let him cook it out for a little? Who knows? But we'll discuss that, and also the Sixers. Ben Simmons can't escape. But to lead it off, talk a little bit about the Phillies. Four-game win streak as of now, like I said. Good. Good. You are who we thought we are. Be who you're supposed to be. Beat up on the shitty teams. What I cannot stand is a one-hit effort Friday night against the Pirates, who are the second-worst team in the league, followed up Saturday night with a one-run effort. You came out spanking on Sunday. Good. You came out hot against the Nationals, even though you probably could have lost the first two games. Good. Sweep them. This is what you're supposed to do. You have the easiest schedule in the second half. Be somebody. Do it. Come on now. You are who we think you are. Now just end it with the sweep tonight. Bryce Harper, he's not going to be in the MVP discussion. I tell you what, he probably fucking should. He is crushing it right now. He's batting over 300. He's hitting the ball every which way. There was a stat yesterday that I don't know whether it was like this week or the past 2 weeks or this month. His on-base percentage is above 600. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Above 600 on-base percentage. That would cause Billy Bean to die via ejaculation. Moneyball style. That's unheard of. Not to mention people were like, oh, how about you hit more than a solo home run? Motherfucker, he is 83rd or 84th in the league batting with runners in scoring position. That's not batting with runners in scoring position. That's approaching the plate with runners in scoring position. Odubel Herrera has had more opportunities with runners in scoring position than Bryce Harper. He is great. I repeat, Bryce Harper has been great. As opposed to everybody else, Joe Girardi, he's still a fucking head case. I don't know what the hell he thinks sometimes. Goes back to the one hitter Friday night and Saturday. You can't do that. You cannot manage the way you manage against those bad teams and have your team come out flat. Saturday, okay. Or excuse me, Sunday, okay. You make a comeback. You do the good things in a blowout win against the Pirates. And then you let Ian Kennedy, your closer now, pitch in a worthless game where position players are pitching for 25 pitches just so he can get to work. And what happens the next night? You actually need him. You actually need him. And he comes in and struggles. And what happens the next night for a 38-year-old pitcher who has never pitched in back-to-back-to-back games? Joe Girardi had him warming up. Think, Joe. Think. What are you doing? And then last night, Chase Anderson, four innings pitch. Okay, he gave up three solo home runs. Okay. Fifth pitcher. What are you going to do? 4-inning pitch. 55 pitches. He retires the last six batters. And then in the fourth inning, he's not coming up to bat. Joe benches him. Doesn't send him out for the fifth. J.D. Hammer pitches himself into a jam. Batmore comes in and saves him against Soto. But in what world does starter Chase Anderson, who retired the last six batters on 55 pitches, with the struggling bullpen, doesn't come out and pitch a fifth? I don't get it. I don't get it, Joe. Help you. Help me. What the shit, Joe? He better hope the Phillies make the playoffs. Because if not, he might be out of here. Because shit like that, I don't get it. If Chase Anderson, if there was an explanation of him being hurt or some shit, so like, speak up and forever hold your peace, somebody. Because that I just don't get it. Little stuff like that is just inexcusable. And there's no explanation for it. But then Ranger Suarez coming into the starter's role, I don't agree with it because he's your best pitcher in the bullpen. And why mess that up at this stage of the season? Maybe next year, spring training, okay, stretch him out, do what you have to do. Okay, you put him in the starter's role. He pitches three delightful cocked-down innings, 33 pitches, and you bench him. Okay, you got to stretch him out, get his arm loose. But what, like, how long do we have to wait for him to be able to pitch six innings? If it's going to take the whole season, why are you moving him from the bullpen? What's the point? And 33 pitches ain't that much. If he's doing a two-inning save, he's potentially getting 33 pitches. So if you're not going to put him out there for the fourth, what's the point? What's the point? I don't get it. I don't get it, Joe. We got people waiting to call in. I love it. And we're going to get everybody. We're going to get everybody. I didn't even touch on Deshaun Watson or the Simmons thing. Disgusting. Disgusting across the world. Mark, you there? No, sweating. Connection's going. What are you going to do? Rony, you there, my friend? First time, long time.
What's going on, Smitty? I know we're in the Phillies sweep. I know it's all, I want to talk about it, but I want to bring up the Ben Simmons situation, man. Like, if all of this stuff is true about what he's saying, ignoring Joe, all of this stuff, what if it's false and everyone's like, oh, the Philly media always makes stuff up, why isn't he coming out, like Ben Simmons, why isn't he coming out and saying straight up, it's false, I want to play in Philly? If he actually wanted to play in Philly, he would come out and say it. I think I'm about done defending him, man. I can't do it anymore. I can't.
Yeah, he's not doing anything that's likable right now. That's for sure. I wrote a blog 2 weeks ago when the first false reports came out, basically about the same exact thing, saying it's a shame that these false reports are coming out because they're so believable, it hurts. And now they are coming out again, and they're apparently real, where he's basically cutting ties with everyone. And it's believable because it's fucking happening. And he says, allegedly, oh, I wouldn't mind going to Golden State. Motherfucker, if we send you to Siberia and get something in return, you're going to fucking Siberia.
Exactly.
I don't care where you go. You don't have a trade clause. Like, you go wherever Sixers can get a return.
It's just sad, man, because I've defended this dude since he got drafted. I tried so hard, you know, giving him the benefit of the doubt. But he's turning into the blame everyone else but yourself. Dude, I've seen middle school kids or high school kids take blame and go into the gym, get shots up, and get better. But he's just blaming everyone else, and I'm just sick of it. And that's what I wanted to say. So it's whatever, man.
And I agree with you. I mean, this was a pro Ben Simmons podcast up until the playoffs, or up until essentially Game 7 of the Hawks series. This was a very pro Ben Simmons podcast, and I agree 100% with you. With the exception of, I don't think he's publicly blaming others. I think he is doing, in his mind, the right thing. And up until essentially now, we've accepted that and we believed in it. Like, even his workout videos where he's pulling 10 to 15 foot fadeaway jump shots.
No, yeah, the classic Ben Simmons every offseason video.
Exactly. Exactly. It's the same shit, different year. Yeah, he was able to fool us basically every year up until this one. Now it's not enough. It's not enough. And he's out in L.A. in a $17 million compound, quote-unquote, working hard. Meanwhile, Australia's kicking dicks in the Olympics without him.
Yep.
Embiid's playing tennis with Daryl Morey. God knows what they're talking about. And Daryl Morey's throwing out floaters that Simmons, you know, he might just be back. He threw out a stat yesterday stating the Sixers' regular season plus-minus stat line with the starting five.
Yep, saw that.
It's like, okay, that was regular season. You lost to Kevin Herter and the fucking Hawks, man. Like, how can you quote regular season shit like that when you can't get past the Atlanta Hawks in the second round of Kevin Herter? It's disgusting. It's disgusting. But we're a pro Daryl Morey podcast, and Daryl we trust. Whatever he does, I wholeheartedly believe in him. And I think something kind of has to happen. He's holding out for Dame. It's all smoke and mirrors right now. Hopefully happens.
I hope, man. But, hey, thanks for the time. I'm going to get ready for this Phils game. And let's go.
Believe it, Rony. Believe it. Hopefully something happens before the season begins, because I don't see Ben Simmons being here. I think it's way too toxic. It's way too toxic of a situation. And it's sad. It's sad. But it is what it is right now. And hopefully in Maury we trust. Sean Falker. What's good, Sean? First time, long time.
Yeah, what's going on? So I know we're talking about the Phillies and stuff, but I had to bring it to Deshaun Watson. Honestly, if he gets out of this clear, obvious, too much to handle jam he's in, clearly, are you cool with him being the Eagles quarterback? Because it seems like it's more likely to happen than not.
Is that what you're calling it? Is that what you're calling 22 sexual allegations? A jam?
I guess so. I mean, yeah, I'm not really giving it as much credit as it deserves because it is a lot and it's bad, but obviously.
Yeah, of course it's bad. Of course it's bad. And, you know, allegations aside, I wrote in a blog this morning, like, I don't want him because of those allegations, whether or not they turn criminal or whether or not they are substantiated somehow with a suspension by the NFL. Like, I don't want someone like that on the team who, you know, clearly is just a bad dude, allegedly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But if nothing happens, no suspension, no jail time, I believe it's a pure damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Damned if they do. Say they do trade for him, give up 3 first-round picks, maybe more. What are you doing with them? What are you doing with them behind an aging, despicably not healthy offensive line?
That's
with,
true.
With no real weapons on offense that are proven yet. And a defense then, yeah, has a very good defensive line, but like in the secondary, everyone's like pretty much on a 1-year deal. I like Anthony Harris. I like the guy they signed from Pittsburgh. Well, like 1-year deals, like they're not built to win now. He would move their over under from 6.5 to 8. That's exactly what happened. And say they draft and sign perfectly for the next 2 years and turn it around, which obviously won't happen because Howie Roseman's in charge. Then maybe. Like, he's worth it, but, you know, his contract's up in, what, 24? Like, and he's 25 years old, and I agree, like, it's a rare commodity, top 5 QBs in the league. Like, I agree, you do what you have to do to get him, but, like, what happens if he just doesn't like it here? What happens if he gets hurt, like, which is a very high possibility.
Especially with this medical staff that roams around Philadelphia.
Exactly. So that's the damned if you do. And the damned if you don't. I was saying last week that, you know, I don't want to give up the 3 draft picks and the potential future we have because this is a rebuild. Howie ain't doing dick with those draft picks anyway. Like, so why not just try and get them or somebody else? And so you would take the chance with Deshaun Watson over those 3 picks because talent-wise, yeah, I would take a chance with Watson over those potential probable failed picks that Howie has because I just don't trust. So it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation.
Yeah, I was, because like every time I hear it, like I'm like, okay, that would be cool, but like I'm really excited for Jalen Hurts. I don't know how, I don't know why, but Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni, they got me super excited for this year. It's crazy.
Well, that's another thing. Do you really trust this administration who gave Carson Wentz a contract extension and then drafted Jalen Hurts? And then ruin Carson Wentz, and then if they trade for Watson, they're ruining Jalen Hurts. Do you really trust them not to ruin Deshaun Watson? Like, what positive things are you getting behind here if they go out and trade Watson? Of course, Hurts deserves a year. He's been put in this situation. We need to see what he can do at this point. You dug the hole, Howie. Now you got to fill it, man. Now you got to fill it. But I don't know. They're a shit show, regardless of Deshaun and. If he comes, it's going to be even more of a shitty party.
Yeah. Yeah.
Appreciate it, Sean.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mark in Philly. Finally got you, my man. What's up? Michael went off. All right. Now we got the Kush. What's up, Kush?
Hey, how's it going, Smitty?
Living, my friend. Living. First time, long time. How we doing?
Yeah, just want to kind of... If you can shine some more light on that Watson situation, like you said best, you know, I'm just confused on what Watson would even do for this franchise as a whole and how we can afford him. I thought the big thing was the cap situation with the Eagles. Thanks.
Yeah, no, I agree. When Deshaun Watson signed his extension in 2020 that made him the second highest paid player in NFL history besides Patrick Mahomes. That might have changed since then, but he's still probably top five. The Eagles are already in cap hell. Like, you're just keeping Zach Ertz on the roster for however much he's worth just for the fuck of it. Like, I don't know how they navigate that situation other than just dumping a whole lot of talent, getting more dead cap space, and giving up future first-rounders. I don't know how the books make it work. You're correct. Howie, if there's one thing he is good at, is kind of cooking the books and being the accountant. But no, that's just another reason why kind of against it, because where is this money coming from?
Smitty, one more question, actually, if you don't mind. The wide receiver situation, well, how would you feel about like Michael Thomas trade with the Saints, possibly maybe give up a couple first round picks for him?
What are you fucking reefing, man? You're going from getting Deshaun Watson, an actual top five quarterback who will come here and not be able to salvage the franchise, to a wide receiver who was just out on an island.
I was trying to save for next year, not this year.
I mean, you got to see what Hurts has in the tank. One of the biggest downfalls on Hurts, one of his knocks, is he doesn't have like that power arm strength. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, bringing in a guy like Michael Thomas, yeah, I mean, he's a top five receiver in the league. I'd love him. But like for a team that's in the rebuild right now, I don't see why that would be why that would be an option. I'd love it, but like, what's the point?
Got it. Thank you.
Of course, Kush. Of course. Mark in Philly, trying you one more time, my friend. Now we're going straight to Skyler. Mark, can you hear us?
Can you hear me, Smitty?
We got you. Awesome. First time, long time.
There we go, Smitty. I just want to thank you for that boost on the Barstool Sportsbook around the All-Star break for the Phillies to win the division at +800. It's now all the way down to +300. Baseball Reference thinks we're going to win the division. Spencer Howard just got killed in the third inning in Texas. Kyle Gibson looks like a horse. The Phillies are going to sweep tonight, and I'm here to say I do think Bryce can get into that MVP conversation. I think he can break in.
Who else is really in the MVP conversation?
I mean,
in the National League.
Tatis is hurt, so that really, who knows if he's
Tatis made. Is hurt. Even the Cy Young, I mean, DeGrom ain't coming back till September now. Yeah. So, I mean, he deserves it, obviously, because he's been the most powerful pitcher, arguably, in Major League Baseball history this season. But, I mean, he might not have enough innings, just as MVP didn't have enough minutes. Yeah, maybe. I'm looking at it now. 2001 top 20 NL position players win above WAR, wins above replacement. You got Tatis, who's hurt. You got Acuna, who's out. He probably would have won it. Trey Turner, 4.2. Max Muncy, okay. Brian Reynolds, who, after watching him on over the weekend and following him against the Brewers this series, because, you know, responsibly we were, you know, had some action on the Brewers. Brian Reynolds is fucking good. He's really good. I would love to have him on the team. Then you got Chris Taylor, Jake Cronenworth, Buster Posey for some reason. I mean, these are all jumpable guys for the MVP race. If Bryce turns it on the second half, you're not wrong.
And yeah, you're not wrong with that. Even if you look at the odds on the Barstool Sportsbook, Tatis is still like -120, and there's rumors he could miss the rest of the year or come back in like 2 weeks. No one seems to know yet. DeGrom, who knows when he's coming back. And then the next two before, I think Bryce is fifth and at +3,000, and Muncy and Turner are like +450 and +600. They might cancel each other out on the Dodgers. Who knows if people will give Turner the votes because he was on Washington. I think the writers will give him credit if the Phillies go on a run and win the division. I think if you look at his OBP, you look at his OPS, it's up there with anyone except for like Vladdy in baseball. Mm-hmm. And then if they go on a run, that's going to help him. And I think that they are primed to, because the Phillies play 16 of their final 30 games against the Marlins, Rockies, Orioles, and Pirates, while the Mets play their next 16 games against the Phillies, Giants, and Dodgers. So that plus 800 to win the division couldn't feel any better right now.
You got to love getting on that money early, plus 800. Thank you very much, Barstool Sportsbook, and thank me for putting that bet out there. But Bryce with MVP, like the more you talk about it, the more it is feasible, especially the way he's been playing. He's been playing hot. He's been playing with the fire on his dick. He really has. He's using all sides of the field. He's not really hitting, like, for extreme power, getting those 600-feet bombs, but he's spreading it out. You even see his home run the other night. It was the opposite field. He's going the other way. Shit, I wouldn't even mind it. I've said this since he came over. I wouldn't mind it if once every other game, when they got that extreme shift on, just lay a bunt down the third baseline for a double. Because you see plays like last night where he absolutely smokes it into the shift, and Sanchez made a great diving play. Like, fuck it. Lay one down, Bryce. Like, if you're not going to hit for power anyway, which, I mean, he still can, but just lay one down. I don't mind. Bat 750 for me. But and Bryce Harper for MVP, don't hate it.
I don't mind it at all. And two things before I get out of here. One thing, real quick, Ryan Philippe in the chat right now. That's awesome. Big Sky, what a show. But then to close it out here, Marlins just took a 2-1 lead. Have guys on first and third with one out. Muck the fence.
Yeah. Hold on, I'm getting that game on. I'm in the MVP race. Yep, Marlins up 2-1, bottom eighth. Hopefully they fall. We win within a half the game. I mean, Mets are going to Mets. Ryan, if you want to get in here, you're more than welcome. We can Cruel Intentions it up. They're your big Philly guy. Dance away, my friend. What else did he talk about? Oh, Mark mentioned the trade deadline with Spencer Howard and Kyle Gibson and Ian Kennedy. Yeah, if they're going to do this year and win the NL East, yes, that's a good trade. Even like Freddie Galvis, like I wish they could have gotten a better bat. They couldn't have gotten anything else. You look at the packages they sent out for Chris Bryant and other guys, like the Phillies can't match that sans giving up like Nick Abel, which they're not going to do. Not when he's that young, just slinging it. The thing that bothers me with Spencer Howard, and again, hindsight's 20/20, for the JT Realmuto trade, the Phillies had an opportunity to give up one of two, Spencer Howard or Sixto Sanchez, and they fucked it up. They fucked it up. Can you imagine having Sixto Sanchez? Granted, he's been hurt. Having him, like, ready to go as the third starter next year. Like, they fucked it up. There's way too many fuck-ups in this organization from the top down when it comes to player development that it's like, what are we doing? What are we doing, guys? And Spencer Howard, yeah, I mean, he still might have potential. He got shelled a little bit today. He couldn't run down the first base without freaking getting gassed and only threw three innings for the Phillies each time out. But, I mean, he's still young. He still has some potential. But you could have had Sixto Sanchez, and you whiffed for Spencer Howard. And now you got Kyle Gibson for 2 years and Ian Kennedy for this year. And you know, after that, who knows? Who knows? Maybe Spencer Howard becomes something. But Christ almighty, just give me, like, one pitcher since Cole Hamels that comes up and just slays. I guess outside of Aaron Nola. I guess we'll see today whether Aaron continues to be a king, in which he was two starts ago against the Braves, or goes back to anti-vaccine mediocrity. Skyler.
Hey, Smitty, how's it going?
What's up? No offense to anti-vaxxers out there, but major effects. Offense. Sorry. Go ahead, Skyler.
Hey, quick question for you. Assuming the Phillies do make the playoffs, which looks like they're obviously playing really well and the Mets are in a nosedive, what are your realistic expectations for them in the playoffs, especially with the Dodgers, obviously, the favorite?
Yeah, they'll probably play the Brewers in the first round, and they'll get their ass swept. I mean, It is what it is. Anybody who comes out of the NL East has no chance to really do anything. And if they do beat the Brewers in the first round and get past and go to the NLCS, they ain't beating the Dodgers. They probably not going to beat the Padres. I mean, the Giants, good God. Like, what sauce is Gabe Kapler taking this year, and how is he giving it to everybody? Like, they're unbelievable with young to mediocre talent. Like, great. When is Brandon Crawford and Longoria, like just coming out of nowhere. Longoria's been hurt, but like he's got Darren Ruff being productive, or even just alive outside of the Korean League. Like I don't get it. I don't get how they are that good because they are that good. But the Phillies have no chance in the playoffs the way everything is now, unless like you know they play perfect. I'm not gonna say never. But unless they play absolute perfect baseball and maximize everybody's talent come that time, like, come on, they got no shot. But let's win the East, though. Let's win the East and get there. Because it's been 10 years to the dot where playoff baseball has existed in this fair town. And I miss it. You miss it. We got to bring it back, especially for a big market in Philly. It's inexcusable to go 10 years without a playoff appearance. Sorry, go ahead. We got Mike.
Yeah, what's up, Smitty?
What's good?
So I was just thinking, you just said it. It's been 10 years since we had any meaningful series at home at Citizens Bank Park. Like, we got a weekend with the Mets, first place on the line. When was the last time we had this? Like, I feel like a little kid again with the 08 team and the 09 team. Like, it's finally, we have a good team, but we don't at the same time. Our weaknesses are killing us. Like, I can't watch Aniel De Los Santos pitch. Oh. Alvarado is a nightmare. And we bring in Kennedy, who's a closer, throws 93 miles an hour. It's just, I don't understand. I feel like we just be cheap on everything. Like, we have a chance to spend. We have a chance to really build this team. And what do? We take, like, the little cheap route. We just patch it up.
Well, the thing with Kennedy and Gibson, they couldn't do anything else. They couldn't do anything else. If we wanted Craig Kimbrell, we had to give up Mick Abel and the little that we had in the works. Like, they weren't going to do that. That's just giving up everything. Marlins up 4-1 on the Mets, bottom eight. That's looking like a win. They are what they are. I don't think they're necessarily being cheap. Like, they went out, they got Harper, they re-signed Didi, they got Zach Wheeler. I mean, those aren't cheap moves.
But what I think Kutch it is,
coming in,
we're in like the same kind of territory as the Dodgers, where we have that money to spend, but we just don't go and do it.
You know what the Dodgers do? They actually have a scouting department and develop players well. I mean, they turned around like Yasiel Puig and two other guys that were like, you know, budding superstars a couple years ago from Mookie Betts, Trey Turner, and Max Scherzer. Like, they have the ability to go out and do stuff because they have stuff. The Phillies just traded a second-round pick away to the Rangers or maybe the Orioles, and they got a second-round pick back, and that pick they got back is already the fourth best player in their farm system. That's inexcusable. The Phillies' farm system is dick, and it's infected dick, and it's been that way for a while, and they, unfortunately, aren't going to be able to achieve any sort of sustainability until they start pumping out winners again, like they did. You know, that diseased ferret, Ed Wade, love him or hate him, he drafted Jimmy Rollins. He drafted Cole Hamels. He drafted Chase Utley. He drafted Ryan Howard. Shane Victorino, I think he was a Rule 5 guy. But he brought in those guys, and they were the core. Like, you're not going to be able to just buy those guys out of nowhere. Like, who have the Phillies brought up through their system right now that are core guys? Maybe Reese? Maybe Nola? Like, what else are we looking at? It's unexcusable. I mean, you can't sustain a franchise like that at all.
No, it's definitely been terrible. I mean, when you look at it, I think the Phillies have six of the best players, like six top-of-the-line guys in the league, and then you look at the bottom six guys on their roster, and you're like, how is this guy in the league? You know, maybe we spent at the wrong time, but we're right there in the mix now. But I don't think this team was ready for the moves they made in the front office. But now we kind of just have to go around on the ride and hope for the best.
Yeah, and to be honest, would you rather have, like, the mediocrity and the hope, the playing, like the, well, I mean, J.P. Crawford might be a bad example because he's actually like doing something now, but like to play these young guys and like try to get something out of them and not be in a playoff race, or rather be in a playoff race and overpay because it's not my money. I don't give a shit. I'd rather be where we are than the alternative.
Definitely would take this, but it is a little annoying because a little planning ahead in the 10 years we sucked, we could have turned this around.
No, you're not wrong. And they took a shot. They took a shot with Klentak and Gabe Kapler. And, you know, Gabe's doing good stuff now. Klentak was a monumental failure, which sucks because I like the thinking with him coming in, at least, you know, from the Angels being analytical, you know, young guy thinking outside the box, coming off the Ruben Amaro disaster. Now, it just didn't work out. And now Dombrowski is here, who has taken the Red Sox to championships. He's took the Tigers to World Series. But unfortunately, the way he did that was taking all their talent in the farm system and dismantling it for a World Series winner. Well, the Phillies don't have any talent to dismantle. So what are you going to do? You're going to ride it out. The infected dick. Just hope for some penicillin in the next 5 years. Michael? First time, long time.
Hello?
What you got, Michael?
Yeah, I think it's time for the Sixers to bring home the prodigal son of Philadelphia, Reinhard Diakono. Yeah, released by Bulls last week.
What year did you graduate from Nova?
19.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I like him. I like him as a player. I mean, obviously not a starter.
No, absolutely not. No.
But if he's in Philly, I mean, he would be an instant hometown favorite. Instant. You think TJ McConnell wasn't local, but I mean, he would be like a TJ McConnell, just lovable figure off the bench that he would produce. He would produce. I mean, bring back Bridges too.
That was my next point. There was, it almost makes up for trading away Mikhail.
You see, I have problems with people just saying we traded away Mikhail for Zaire Smith and like it was a failure. Hindsight is 20/20, and if you do that, like the butterfly effect from that trade is so drastic that you can't like compare that to anything. If that trade doesn't go through, then we don't get Tobias Harris. We don't get Jimmy Butler. And this team is just completely different. Like, yeah, if you can just insert Mikal Bridges into the squad right now, great. But the squad wouldn't be anywhere close to what it is if that trade didn't go through. So I don't know where they would be if they kept Mikal. Obviously, he's a great player. I would love to have him. But, I mean, that trade just had monumental effects to where you can't just say, oh, let's just wish it didn't happen.
Fair enough. But it was still funny how his mom worked in the front office and they traded him.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have done it at the time. I wouldn't have done it, but it is what it is. Hopefully he'll be back one day. We'll see. He's in Avalon right now as we speak, probably. So let the big dog eat. I appreciate it, Michael. We got Jake. Nick Sirianni was in Avalon, too, hawking it up with a couple of wedding guests at the Icona. I think you were last week or 2 weekends ago. I say this about Nick Sirianni real quick. I kind of like him. I mean, as a coach, I don't know. He's probably going to be an epic failure. But as a person, I mean, he's endearing. He tries. He's very affable. Like, he's a bumbling idiot at sometimes, but then you see him just absolutely rail into Jalen Reagor, who, yes, he had a friend who passed away, and maybe mentally he's not all there. He came into camp out of shape, and Nick Sirianni's ripping him a new asshole after a couple of days. Okay, Nick, stamp your nuts down. Be somebody for once. Give these guys the business. I'm not saying he's going to be a good football coach, but I kind of like him. I'm rooting for him. What's up, Jake?
Yo, Smitty, what's good?
What's up, my friend? First time, long time.
Same old, same old. But two things. One, I like Nick Sirianni. And I like how he holds the players accountable. For example, he was tearing Jalen Reagor a new one the other day. He stopped practice at some point, told the entire team that they sucked. But he said it could be a teaching moment for a slow start of a game. So I like that compared to Doug, you know, offering the players ice cream after practice and such. And the second thing is the left tackle battle. Andre Dillard is clearly losing the battle to Jordan Mailata.
Yep.
What do we do with Dillard? Because a lot of people are arguing that we should keep him in case Lane Johnson goes down, but I have more faith in Jack Driscoll. So, and Dillard obviously can't play on the right side, and I don't know if he can play guard at all. What can we get for him?
Yeah, I mean, he's the one who famously said that he can't wipe his ass with two hands. He only wipes his ass with one hand, and therefore he cannot learn the opposite side of the line. So putting him at right tackle, I think, might be too much of a problem to go with. If he loses this battle, I think you chalk it up as another first-round bust from a mere 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, either or, and you use him as trade bait. Because Mulata, he's a diamond in the rough. He's a seventh-round pick that looks like he's going to be good, really good. And I'd give him the edge in future over Dillard regardless because, I mean, we saw it before when Chip Kelly brought in, who's the tackle from Pittsburgh, the Army vet, Villanueva. And he was very raw. He didn't exactly know how to play the offensive line, but we let him go, and now he's an all-pro tackle for Pittsburgh. You know, guys like that who are trying and putting the effort, and in Jordan Mulata's instance, has seen incredible results in such a short period of time. I would take chances on him over Dillard any day of the week. But if Dillard loses out, I say you cut ties. You try to get what you can with him.
I mean, you got to give credit to Jeff Statlin, though, for developing Mulata and all these other players on the offensive line.
Well, yeah, I mean, Jack Driscoll, he's a good find as a fourth-round pick. I mean, Herberg, I don't know what to think of him yet, even though he started a lot of games last year. I mean, Kelsey was a sixth-round pick. Lane Johnson, number four overall, obviously. Brandon Brooks, free agent signing. You know, you're going to get lucky every once in a while, but it seems like the Eagles are finding starters and borderline stars later in the draft, but completely whiffed in the beginning of the draft. And that's, like, why can't we have both? Why can't we get the easy ones right? Like, why do we need to worry about, like, Travis Fulgham coming in and leading the NFC in receiving yards, you know, from weeks 8 to 12 just out of nowhere when we could have just drafted DK Metcalf? Like, why, or Justin Jefferson? Like, why do we have to rely on these scrubs getting time and hopefully one works out rather than actually doing the fucking work and getting shit done? I don't know. I don't have that answer.
Word. Well, I mean, like I said, man, Jeff Statlin's just a great coach. I mean, there's a reason why the organization has kept him around since the Chip Kelly days.
No, I agree. I agree. Yeah, I think he's the only one who's been around since then outside the medical staff, right?
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, keep him around as long as you can. As long as you can. Appreciate it, Jake.
Peace out, Smitty.
Brandon, first time, long time, my friend.
You hear me?
Yep, we got you, Brandon.
All right. So, I'm a Mets fan, heading down tomorrow for the game, fully expecting us to be in second place by end of the weekend. But I got to ask you, if it goes wrong for the Phillies, how do you think it goes wrong? I don't think that bullpen can hold up all through September. That's just me, though.
I think it goes wrong through the lineup, to be honest with you, because when this lineup is dead, like, you don't know how they're going to score a run. When they're hot, like last night, coming back from 3-0 and they score 9 runs, everything's clicking, and you can feel it. But when they're dead, like, they have the worst approach to batting I've ever seen in my life, from the majors down to fucking Little League. I mean, they would look at balls right down the middle, like against the Pirates of the weekend, and like Alec Boehm would just like turn to the ump and just argue, and then just look at another third strike right down the middle. Like, their approach is just shit when they're not on. So I see if they were to fail, which is still a high possibility, I see it because of their bats more than their arms. The bullpen, for as bad as the first half was, and it was historically bad, like the worst in Major League Baseball history, they're not awful now. I mean, they're still bad.
Yeah, they did pretty good this past series in Washington. So, I mean, to be honest, you know, I don't watch the Phillies every night, so you would know more than I about the bullpen.
Fair. Sure. Yeah. I mean, for the Phillies to win, the Mets are going to have to collapse.
Oh, either the way this division goes, either team's just back into the playoffs and getting their asses handed to them. No one's really winning this, running away with it, I don't think.
Yep. And if it happens, I mean, you never know. Last couple of weeks could be a momentum game. You get hot and you roll through, but I agree. I don't think anybody's doing much. We appreciate a Mets fan coming in, being cordial. Good luck this weekend. Brian Konski. What's up, Bri?
How's it going? Can you hear me?
Oh, we got you.
I don't want to beat the dead horse, but can we go back to the Ben Simmons thing?
Oh, beat and ejaculate all over that horse consensually all you wish, because it deserves it at this point.
I was a
until the horse is buried.
I was a big Ben Simmons defender all throughout his career in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And the thing that pisses me off the most is that you look at a player like Giannis. Him and Giannis are like the same build, pretty much, almost the same player. Giannis doesn't have the confidence to shoot free throws either. But the thing is, he still plays aggressive. Look at him. He's parading down in Milwaukee. And Ben Simmons, I feel like, in the playoffs, that game 7 specifically, where he didn't put up any shots in the fourth quarter, and like 4 all game, that to me is a player that doesn't want to win. And that's why after this playoff series, I'm over him. I want him gone. I want him out of Philly. And I'm tired of defending him.
Yeah, I mean, you just decapitated the horse. Everything you said has been said already since Game 7. The one thing about Ben Simmons is I do think, at least he thinks he's trying and he wants to win. Like, I do honestly think that. I just think that his brain is so fucked up and he is such a mental diarrhea patient that it doesn't translate. And it causes him to just shit his pants.
Well, I think part of that's will. Playing in front of a tough Philly crowd.
Yeah, I mean, but when he plays aggressive, he's good.
Oh, he can be one of the best good. Players.
Yeah, and he has played aggressive. I mean, that's the point that really just shatters, like, me personally in the heart more than anything, is he has played aggressive. That's all he needs to do. Is play aggressive. He plays aggressive, his talent will take over and he will be above average. But he just doesn't.
He played aggressive against Rudy Gobert and put up 42 points. Yeah. He talked about it. And then he plays the Hawks. Who can cover him on the Hawks?
Exactly. Exactly. So I don't know whether he's reading the papers too much or the family is too much in his head. But, I mean, he's a broken, broken man. But I don't think it's because he just, like, says, I don't want to win or I don't want to try. I think it's more than that. It's a lot deeper, sadly. Mm-hmm.
And then the only other thing I wanted to touch on real quick is, what do you think of the Flyers making all these moves?
I mean, I'm not the biggest... Well, I'm a Flyers fan, but I'm not the biggest hockey guy. Okay. So, like, the intricacies and, like, how it works, like, I'm not the person to talk to, but I know that last year their defense was shit.
It was terrible.
They're doing everything they need to improve it. So... there's a reason why they went from first place in the NHL, number one seed, to not making the playoffs last year. And they're trying to fix it without, like, dismantling the core. And I think G is one of the most underrated players in Philadelphia sports history. He deserves
to
go out with a little bit more of a bang. And at least they're doing stuff to fix the problem. And that's really all I can ask for.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, good man, Brian. Good man. All right,
thank you.
Kyle, first time, long time. How we doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. Smitty, I joined a little late. You guys talk about my boy Furkan Korkmaz yet?
Furkan Korkmaz out being paid more than Danny Green. How about that?
Dude, it's wild.
Stuck on that one, Danny.
But, like, at the same time, like, 3 years, 15 mil, like, that's a great deal for a guy who, like, you know, he's been slowly improving every single year from three.
Wait a second. I thought it was 3 years, 24 mil. Did I see that wrong?
Nah, wait. Shit, I'll Google this. I want to say it was
I'm Googling
three mil,
now.
Or 3 years.
No, 3 year, 15. No, you're right. I did not remember that right. I thought it was 3 year, 24. Danny Green re-signed today for 2 years, 20. Furkan, 3 years, 15. You know, you say he's been improving every year. Has he, man? Has he?
Hey, man, he went from a fucking no-show in the playoffs, like, his first two outings. So, you know, at least putting up what he had, like, a 20-point game one time.
Furkan's got to do more, in my opinion. Like, and by doing more, just being consistent as a shooter. Way too many times in the season and during the playoffs, he comes out and has wide-open shots and looks and whiffs. Yeah, he'll go out and dominate sometimes, but, I mean, he just needs to be more consistent. And I grew tired of it. Especially during the playoffs this year. And if they let him walk, I wouldn't have batted an eye. It would have been fine. But they brought him back, and it's kind of like, okay. I guess they don't believe in Shake as much as one hoped. I mean, people forget Shake was a six-man of the year candidate for most of the season. So I'm okay with it, bringing him back, because, I mean, if that's what they want, that's what they want. But I'm not the biggest Furkan guy.
Yeah, man, I know that. I feel kind of bad for him, though. Like, I feel like he started in the playoffs, but, like, when they went cold in those second halves, like, I would have had Furkan out there. Like, the dude was going to chuck shots regardless. Like, he may not be consistent or good, but, like, the dude will shoot. He will never be afraid. Like,
he will shoot, but that's all he can do. He can't do anything else on offense. He can't play defense. If he's out there just chucking and not making them, what's the point? And he's done that way too much. Way too much for my liking. And Danny Green coming back after his comments on the fans, I thought that was a little surprising.
Yeah.
We'll see if that's a sign and trade deal with Simmons. A couple more irons in the fire. But if they run it back with him, it's not the worst thing. It's not the worst thing, even though he's 50. But
yeah, dude, I can't believe Danny's coming back. Where do you think Simmons is going to go? I heard Warriors or Toronto.
I saw he wasn't a like confirmed like trade offer, but I saw Siakam was in the running for or like a trade rumor for coming to Philly. I wouldn't mind some Cameroon brothers back there, just like going 1v1 or 2v2 against everybody with Siakam and Bede. But I don't know. I don't know like what kind of haul we can get from Golden State. Like I saw Wiggins and Wiseman and a couple first round picks. Like where are these guys going to play? Like what are they going to do? Are they really going to be better and make everything good? Right now, I'm personally Dame or bust. So
yeah, what do you think the odds are that they're just trying to get like a big package with young players that they can, you know, then ship to the Blazers, who will go full rebuild mode, like, you know, three way trade: Warriors, Sixers, Blazers.
I think they're going to try to do anything possible to be able to do that. My biggest fear is that they get a haul for Simmons, but it's a more draft pick, and like what they had with the Spurs, where they offered 4 firsts, 3 pick swaps, and like and Murray, essentially. How is that going to help your team now? How is that going to help during the next 2-3 years of Embiid's prime? Because if they don't get people for now, when Embiid is an MVP, like, is the big guy going to hold up, you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the line when, like, these draft picks start coming to fruition? I don't know. They need a pillar now, like Dame, like Beal, to come in and be the three-headed monster that we were promised with Ben Simmons. Because if not, then we might find ourselves in a similar or worse situation.
Agreed, man. It sounds like they're trying to make some lateral moves, and, like, they got to make a big acquisition soon. Or, like, yeah, like you said, they're going to fucking waste Joel's prime, and, like, the dude's a Hall of Fame player. It'd be sad to see him wasted.
Believe it, Kyle. Believe it. Appreciate it, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, Smitty. Hit me up. Let's play get on stick sometime.
Get the sticks wet anytime, my friend. Get them anytime. Patrick. Patrick, first time, long time.
What's up, Smitty? So I know you're touching base on a possible Simmons trade right now. My big thing with trading Simmons, at the moment, good play more, because obviously at first Kyle Lowry was out there. Kyle Lowry could have fit in. I mean, he's a Philly guy. I'm sure people would have loved him. But if you're trading Simmons, unless you're getting Dame, who else can fill that spot that he was in as a big-time playmaker? I mean, there's not very many guys out there right now who you can trade for that are making those plays that he was making as a distributor, as a primary ball handler. So, like, what do you do about that if you're trading Simmons?
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get the exact same player back to fill his shoes, especially defensively. But the only people you can get back that will be like a drastic improvement playmaking wise will be either Dame or Beal. And Beal's pretty much out of the question now since the Wizards traded Westbrook and are going to rebuild around him. I'll take like a Fox from Sacramento, even though I doubt they'll let him go. D'Angelo Russell from Minnesota. Like, he'd be another name to throw it out there, even though I don't think that would be that much of an improvement. Colin Sexton would just be, like, the complete opposite of Ben Simmons. That's, like, completely overcompensating for Ben Simmons' lack of shooting. So, pretty much, you're looking at Damon Beal to be those guys to come in to be better immediately. And
yeah,
we'll see if it can happen.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, the way I look at it is, if you're not getting Beal or Dame, which I agree, it seems like Beal's completely out of the question. I mean, obviously, he doesn't want to win if he's going to stay in D.C. If you're not getting Dame, which, I mean, I would hope that they would be able to get him, but I'm not so sure about that either. At this point, I would just say keep Simmons until the trade deadline. Hope that he has a good season. Hopefully he has a good season until then. Get his trade value back up and then try and make a move at that point. But
I can't. I mean, I know on books that's the right play, but I can't see them bringing him back. He's just way too toxic right now. He is the most toxic player in Philly since T.O. doing sit-ups in the driveway. Like I don't see how he comes back.
What pisses me off, what makes me so mad about Ben now is the fact that he's not talking to anybody on the Sixers. When it was him, he was the one who shit the bed in that playoff series. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has nobody to blame except himself. And the fact that he has basically cut ties with the Sixers, I mean, what did you expect Daryl Morey and the Sixers front office to do?
Yeah, and
they failed. It was a colossal failure for that team to not beat the Hawks. I mean, I thought they were going to beat them in five. Like, they should have beaten that team in five on paper. So I don't know who he's mad at, but his anger is completely unwarranted to the Sixers and their organization, in my opinion, at least.
It is the most historic collapse in Philadelphia sports history since Tampa Bay beating the Eagles last game at the Vet. That was the only other comparison I can make to it. Even Joe Carter's home run doesn't amount because, I mean, that Blue Jays team, that team was stacked. They weren't supposed to win that World Series. I mean, it would have been better just to, like, lose normally instead of, like, an all-time highlight reel of a home run walk-off. Yeah, but the Phillies weren't supposed to win that. The Sixers, you're right, they should have won in five.
To be honest, that's the second time in like 3 years that they really could or should have won a championship. I say could for this year because the Bucks and the Suns were good.
Mm-hmm.
That year that they had Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, J.J. Redick, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons as their star five. There was no excuse for not winning that year either. So I agree. I want Simmons gone as soon as possible. But, I mean, I just don't know who the best suitor is for him at this point.
I just went on the greatest Ben Simmons tangent of historical implications, and I was muted. And I was muted. Why? Because I'm an asshole. But to reiterate what I was talking to myself, saying, Roan and I were discussing the week after the Sixers lost to the Hawks. And Roan's coming back next week, by the way. Hopefully, he's on his honeymoon right now. Shout out to Roan. What if Ben Simmons does come back to the Sixers? And what if he throws 25 points a game for the first 10, 20, 40 games halfway through the season? Averages 20, 25. Is he forgiven? Do we love him again? Is everything washed from before? Or do we still have it in the back of our minds that Ben Simmons is just a mental catastrophe waiting to happen and anything that occurred during the last playoffs can and will happen again? Because that would be interesting. Because, I mean, Trista Crickets said to me incorrectly that I said Ben Simmons is a first-ballot Hall of Fame player, which I didn't say. I said if he scores 20 points a game, he's a first-ballot Hall of Fame player because that's the only thing holding him back for being a first-ballot Hall of Fame player. He's putting up 20, 12, and 8 a game. He's a first-ballot Hall of Famer. So what happens if he averages that coming back next year and is quote-unquote fixed? Do we trust him? Do we love him? I say yes, but it's still going to be in the back of my mind. ML, my man, what do you got?
I mean, if he's dropping 25 points a game, it's hard not to love him. I mean, the shooting has always been the weakness in his game. There's no doubt about it. But even, like, I mean, the most extreme Simmons apologists will, like, you know, trying to be patient, you know, he'll develop the shot. How many young players coming from, like, college or now, you know, straight from high school or not high school, but overseas, wherever, You know, just need to develop the shot. And I think to a certain point, you just need to, like, kind of let bygones be bygones. I mean, if Simmons comes back and he's exactly the same as he is, like, in like, the last couple of seasons, I mean, I don't see how he fits on the team. Like, especially, like, if he has to play with Drummond, we are fucked, you know?
Completely forgot about that signing. Good God.
So
that's kind of the point. He can't come back the way he was. And the sad part is, he does have, like, somewhat of a jump shot. He just doesn't use it. He's just not aggressive. If he uses it and is aggressive, then he's a completely different ball player. You saw it during his summer league when he first came to the league. Go back and watch those highlights. I blogged about it, like, after the playoffs. Like, it was watching a different fucking player. He was chucking, and he was doing great. And just to regress that way in 5 years, like, it's embarrassing. It's just downright embarrassing. And with Drummond, I mean, you lose Dwight. God bless his frosty, foul, and fucking soul. But Drummond's a pretty damn good backup to have for Embiid, especially if Embiid misses any sort of time. Drummond can go out there and dominate like a starter. Dick swinging low. I don't hate that signing one bit. And now Embiid can just bully him every day in the locker room like he did 4 times a year when he was playing Detroit and Cleveland. So I don't hate the Drummond signing whatsoever.
No, it wasn't a knock on Drummond at all. It was just more of a fit. I think that overall, you know, between the draft, we were expecting maybe some moves, but based on the draft that they had, I think the free agency signings, I mean, they're underwhelming, but we don't really have a lot of room to play with anyway. I think, you know, Niang and Drummond, solid signings, getting Korkmaz and Green back, it should be solid, but at a certain point, we're running back the same team. And then just the last point I want to make is that I think it's interesting to point out just the disparity between what we're asking for Simmons. Like, you hear all these rumors of crazy, like, the players and the picks or superstar, and what people are kind of mocking up what trap. Like, I think I saw, like, a 3-team trade where we get I'm blanking on the name, not Dame, of course, but the other guy, McCollum.
Yeah.
From it's just interesting to kind of see the disparity between, like, what we want. And I don't know if it's just Maury, like, doing Maury things and anchoring negotiation, but it's just interesting to me.
Yeah, and I'll trust what Maury's doing and what he wants to do, but this whole offseason, it's not about free agent signings. It's about what they're doing with Ben Simmons, whether it's developing him, which doesn't seem to be what they're going to do, or it's trading him for a Dame, or even for, like, a McCollum, and getting, you know, value that way, some way, somehow. I think that is greatly underappreciating his value, but I think something is going to happen, something needs to happen, and something will happen. So we'll just see when. But they're holding out for Dame. Like, I don't even think it's a secret at this point. They hired his longtime trainer and like best buddy. Like, they're going after Dame, and in Dame we trust.
Yeah. That would be very nice. All right, thanks, mate.
Very nice, thanks, ML. 3 more callers, and we got first pitch in 4 minutes. What we got, Blake?
What's up, Smitty? How you doing?
Good. How are we?
Good. So, going back to the Phillies, getting ready for the game today. So, I kind of wanted to go back to the bullpen struggles that we've been dealing with all season. So, I don't know. Anytime Girardi ever goes to the pen, that lump in my stomach kind of balls up, and the nervousness sets in. So,
naturally,
I think that's what's going to be our downfall going into late September, and if we do make the postseason, going into the postseason. And honestly, after the season, I might start questioning if Girardi's the right guy to even have in the dugout with us.
Oh, I'm already questioning that. Some of his moves have just been, like, preposterous. I don't know, like, why he does some of the things he does, especially with the pitching staff and you know, sending guys out to bat and then just benching them, like, in between the next innings like he did yesterday. Like, I don't understand, like, that sort of stuff. Or, like, bringing De Los Santos in every single game when he gives up a run every single time. Every single time he just gives up a run. Like, I don't get it. Why is he in the majors? I don't understand. But I think Joe, if he doesn't make the playoffs this year, I think he's not getting this, fulfilling his third year, because there's really no point, and they got to do something about it. But the bullpen, we discussed it earlier. The bullpen was historically dog shit at the first half, and now they're just dog shit. They're better, but they're not good, and they're going to be a liability on this team. But they've proven that they can go out there and do okay. And you know, if the bats stay hot and you get a couple starting arms staying cooking, like, they can do something up until the playoffs, and then they're done.
Well, and I think what we'll really see today is, you know, how Nola does today, because, you know, he's kind of been struggling on and off start. So if he can kind of get back to his old form, like last year and the year before, mm-hmm. Him and Wheeler will definitely help going in late in the games, and will give some relief from the bullpen for sure.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong, my friend. Thank you, Jake. We got, thank you, Blake. We got Jake, Matt, Pauly, and then right in, and then first pitch. What you got, Jake?
What's up, Smitty? I'm just, before this game starts, just want to get some things off my chest. Go. I understand that we were talking about the bullpen here, and it fathoms me how I'm just like, can't even believe how Hector Neris is even on the team anymore at this point. Like, it's like crazy to me. Like, it's been like 6 years of this, and we don't get rid of him. Honestly, I thought we should have signed Cole Hamels and put him in the relief. I think it would have been a great idea, just see what he can do. But at this point, he just signed with LA, so obviously that's out the door. And you're right, we've historically been absolute dog shit, and now we're just dog shit. I completely agree with that. At this rate, I don't really see us making the playoffs. I hope for like a little miracle run here. I mean, if we're lucky, our division sucks. So that's all I really had to get off my chest.
Yeah, that was good. That was good shit on the chest. I applaud your hot Carl. The one thing with Hector Neris, I do think Hector Neris has decent stuff still, but he's not a closer. The Phillies have been trying to use him as a closer for the past 6 years. If he comes in the seventh inning, especially when, you know, they're up by two, down by two, and he's not really having a lot of pressure on him, I think he's serviceable, and he does fine. But as a closer, no, done. Too much, seen enough. And Cole Hamels, like, yes, I would love to have Cole Hamels back on the Phillies, but you mentioned just come back to the Phillies and put him in the pen. What do you think Cole Hamels is thinking? Do I go to the Dodgers where I can coast with this lineup as a fit starter, veteran guy, and get a ring? Or am I going back to fucking media, to Delco, and waste away in the Phillies bullpen? No, of course he's going to LA where he grew
up. Yeah, you make a good point. Well, I just think like they should have done it like earlier in the season, because they've been having like such bad problems the whole
year. Well, that's also Cole's arm. Cole's arm wasn't ready until like now.
Yeah, you're right about that.
So, I mean, it is what it is with Cole, but that's an easy decision. Go get a ring, Cole.
Yeah, true.
Appreciate it, Jake.
Yeah, thank you.
We got Matt Pauling right in, then we're first pitching it. Oh, game's already started. 1-0. All right, what do you got, Matt?
Yeah, you know, I had a lot on my chest as well, like Jake, not necessarily shit, but you just shit on my chest there, Smitty. Cole Hamels wants to go back to media. What's wrong with coming back to Delco, huh?
Nothing wrong with coming back to Delco. Hey, I enjoy Country Deli more than anything else, but
what? Come on. Couple gunshots rung off in the Delco League. You don't ever want to show back up?
I'll be there next year on a team. Don't worry about it. I won't be a free agent. I'll be there next year ready to captain the team. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, no, whatever. That league fucking blows anyway. All right, here we go. We got the Phillies coming up. We got a long series against the Mets. It's an important one. And then we got the Dodgers. Honestly, I think we win the World Series.
Sure. Why not? Why not aim for the stars?
Yeah, fuck it. Why not? I'm all in for it.
Okay.
All right, man. You have a good one, and just have a good one there, Smitty.
Thank you. Thank you, Delco Matt. All right, Pauly and right in, and we're out of here. Pauly, what's good?
Hey, can you hear me, Smitty?
We got you, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I last call going into the game. I'll be quick. Just wanted to say thanks for the show. Today's show is great because you got, you know, a guy making a phone call or a trade request for that's completely off the wall, doesn't make any sense at all with the Michael Thomas. Love that. love the last caller who, you know, I think he's had a few drinks already. It's just 4 o'clock, which is great. But just want to say I'm same as you in terms of the Flyers, but I'm a booze jock sniffer. Love having him on the show to bring a lot of jam, about the Flyers. And my last thought or question is any updates on the, Barstool Philly and kind of the stuff that you said could be coming up?
Yeah, appreciate that. Appreciate all of that. Nothing wrong with a couple nooners or whatever sponsored at this time, Thursday at 4 p.m., like that Delco gent. No, we love booze. We want to get Jordy involved in here, too. With that being said, next week we find out whether Barstool Philly essentially gets expanded and we start doing this more on the books and full time, or we stay where we're at. So, should be all good things. But hopefully by before football season, you see a noticeable company-wide effort behind
awesome. Philly. Awesome.
But we appreciate
it. Yeah, and I Malvern Prep Guy from Delco, and we will host any free agents for the Sixers or any of the teams whenever needed.
Good. Well, LeBron hopefully will be coming back with his kids to check out Malvern sometime soon. Appreciate it. That actually happened. I will stand by those sources. That actually happened. LeBron checked out Episcopal, the Prep, Malvern, everywhere in the area with his kids. Last one, right on. What do you got? Or excuse me, right in. Right in his beak. This should be good. You're fluent in British. Floor's your right in. You got 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And that's...